more. We want miracles. We want healings. We want deliverance. We want salvations. We want that every day, every time we come to church together. Amen. Because where the Holy Spirit is, there's power. Where there's Holy Spirit is, miracles break out. And the church has somewhat forgotten that it's supposed to be a place of power, a place of victory, and a place where we command things to happen, not we wait for things to happen to us. And so we need to change our spiritual position on some things. And, you know, I'm really enjoying this this series on the Holy Spirit. I want to do some teaching more on that. And just recap, I wanted to talk about spiritual gifts. It's funny that God just said, well, just do it. Do your spiritual gift. Right, just do your spiritual gift. And, you know, I was healed when I was 3 months saved, and I had a crooked spine, a twisted hip. My right leg was shorter than my other leg, and I had a creative miracle in my spine where I felt Jesus right behind me as a chiropractor. That's why I often said, oh, the chiropractor was working on Hazel. You know, and I get a sense when he's doing somebody's spine. And I believe, Hazel, that you're going to be completely healed in Jesus' name. I believe it because he loves you and he knows where every single vertebrae in your spine is. And he can realign it. He can realign it as you sit there right now. He can touch you right now in the name of Jesus. He hasn't finished. But bit by bit, I see you 100% completely healed by the power of the Holy Ghost. Lord God, come upon her and do a full work. Just leave nothing out, God, that there's no more pain. And just remove any nerve endings that need to be shifted, God, right now. Shift the bones off the nerves right now in the name of Jesus, that she has no pain. I wouldn't have a revelation of his supernatural surgery techniques if I had not been on the receiving end of them. I've been on the receiving end of the thumbs of Jesus going right up my vertebrae and straightening my spine, vertebrae by vertebrae. He pulled my leg out and my hip went back into place. I was crooked for 15 years, chronic pain. And then Jesus walks into the room, becomes my chiropractor, does some surgery on me. I'm here to tell the story. Healed since 1995. Amen. You can be healed. We are healed. We're healed. Past tense. We're healed. You're healed. Why don't we see it manifested? We're healed until we see it manifested. We just keep praying until we're going to be talking about the gifts of the Spirit. But just before that, I want to recap. Last week, we spoke about Holy Spirit as a person. He's a person. He's here. He was here. He's here now. He's in you, but he's beside you. Isn't that cool? And we're gonna lift up that. Can you get me that whiteboard? Your preacher's turning into a teacher. I don't know what's come over me. I mean, last week I had apples and bananas, and this week a whiteboard. What? A whiteboard? I've never used a whiteboard in my entire life. But this is good. This is good. You'll like this. I probably need a pen too. Thanks, Paul. That'd be awesome. But we're recapping last week. We spoke about Holy Spirit is God. Amen. We spoke about Holy Spirit is within us, that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Oh, yeah. Well, this will be interesting. Where's that going to go? Up there. All right. This will be interesting. Can I write on that? That's cool. Pens? Wow. Give Paul some encouragement. How much does he do for the church? Dead set. So good. I don't know about that color. That's not very bold. What about black? We spoke about Holy Spirit as the temple. We spoke about how am I going to do that? 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. I've got graphs. I'm very impressed with myself. Holy Spirit is Jesus with us right now. Jesus said, it's better if I go away. If I go to heaven, it's better for you. It's better for you because I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's a comforter. He's our guide. And that's why our series is called On Tour with the Holy Spirit, because he takes you on tour every day. If your eyes are open and your ears are open, you realize that God's at work in you all the time. Amen. So up here we've got title. I just want to make this super clear. Title, Father, Son,
and Holy Spirit.
God, God, and God. That's his title, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We're just recapping on the Trinity because it's a big thing to grasp your head and spirit around. So I just want to drive it in. So we have function, status, and location. It's happened to me. All right. So we've got the Father. Let's talk about the Father's role. His function is he's a provider. What's his status? His status is he is holy. He is set apart. Set apart. Do you know the reason that the Father couldn't come down and rescue us himself? He's too holy. He could not, he cannot tolerate sin. He can't tolerate it. He had to send his Son as the sacrifice for our sin. The Father is so holy that he cannot come up against it. Nothing is going to touch the Father in terms of uncleanliness. Amen. He is set apart. His location, we'll get to that. The Son, who is the Son? What is the Son's function? Jesus is the Savior. Top of the class. Who said that? Savior. Jesus' status? He is seated. He's holy. He's set apart. He's seated. Where is he seated? At the right hand of the Father. He said it's finished. When you finish something, you sit down. It's finished. Now, his location is heaven, and his location is heaven. They're together, those two, right? And then we've got the Holy Spirit. What is his function? He is a comforter, or he's a helper. Amen? He's a helper. And what is his status? Is he seated? No. He's active. He is the only part of the Godhead that is active on the earth. Amen? Because the Father and the Son are in heaven. But the Holy Spirit is here. So what is his location? Earth. He is with us. What did Jesus say? That the Holy Spirit would never leave you, never forsake you. He'd be with you always. This is Jesus on earth with us. This is the function, status, and location of all three parts of the Godhead. Amen? And we talked about, if you had the Trinity and you were talking about the same thing but different, we talked about the Father being like ice and Jesus was like the water and the Holy Spirit's like steam. And if you think about steam, it's active. Amen? So the Holy Spirit is here to demonstrate miracles, to demonstrate healing. He's here active with us all the time. And if you think about Jesus was here for 33 years. His ministry lasted for 33 years. And when he went to the cross, he said, it's finished. And then he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. He's fulfilled his assignment. The Father, if you think about the Holy Spirit was hovering. I love that, Nikki. It was hovering. And the Father created the earth and the heavens and everything in it in 7 days. And one of them was a rest day. But after that, he was finished. He rested. The Father has created everything he's going to create. He's not creating anything else. All the diamonds in the world have already been created. But it's up to us to discover them. It's like there's all these gifts that God has given us and we haven't discovered them yet because we haven't discovered them. But it doesn't mean that they're not there and they're not evident. And so the Father is finished creating because he created everything in 7 days. He's not going to create anything new under heaven and earth. He says, in fact, in the Bible, there's nothing new under heaven or earth. I've done it. I'm finished. I'm sat down with my Son now And I sent the Holy Spirit so you can ask him for what? Help. So stop calling on the God whose function is not to help you.
I was going to let that land.
Stop calling on the God whose function is not to help you. Oh, Jesus, help me. Jesus, help me. Jesus, help me. No. Jesus already helped you. He gave you the Holy Spirit to help you. I send you a helper. Can you ask him? Because his assignment is not finished. Amen? His assignment's finished. His assignment's finished. His assignment's not finished. His assignment, it's just starting. It's just warming up. He's saying, if my church will get a hold of this, if my church will get a hold of my function, of my locality, of my status, if they would get a revelation that I'm there with them, trying to move through them, that if they got an inkling of the power that lies within them, oh my goodness, things would, mountains would start to move, things would start to shake. Amen. We would be healed. We would be set free. We would be setting others free. We'd be breaking chains. We'd be moving in all the power of the Holy Spirit. How come in the book of Acts that they moved in the power of God so freely and so wonderfully? How come in the book of Acts? Because if you read the book of Acts through the eyes of having the Holy Spirit as your helper, I dare you to do that this week. Have a look at the book of Acts through the eyes of the Holy Spirit and see how many times he helped the apostles. Oh, the Holy Spirit prevented us going there. Oh, the Holy Spirit told us to go over there. Oh, the Holy Spirit just shut that down, opened that up, blocked that, told me that. That it's everywhere in the book of Acts. You know why it's in the book of Acts? Because the book of Acts is active. Active. Do you know that? No. Listen. You know, when you know the person of the Holy Spirit, you can start to ask him things and he'll just come. He's right there. He'll tell you the answers. And, you know, when you don't know someone, like when you see, you know, a child, an African child on the TV screen and they're asking to give money to Africa to help feed these children, but you don't know that child, you can often go, well, you can just, you'd be a bit blasé about it. You'd be like, I don't really know. I'm not connected. My heart's not connected to that child. I don't really know that child. But if you knew that child, if you knew that child's family, if you knew everything about that child, you'd be like, oh, let me in. Let me help. Amen? It's like that with the Holy Spirit sometimes. The church has forgotten to know him. And to know the Holy Spirit, if you knew the Holy Spirit, you'd ask him and you'd spend time with him. Because when you don't know someone, you dehumanize them. You can dehumanize that kid on the TV because you're not close to it. Let's not dehumanize the Holy Spirit. He's a person. He's here. He's here. He's right here. He's in you. He's with us. He's with us, church. We've got to spend time with him, knowing him. The reason you have to receive and release the power of the Holy Spirit in your life is because he's the only God that's evident in every breath you take, in every hour you walk, in every day that you live in. He's the only active God present in that moment, right there, right with you. Amen. And he's the only person of the Godhead that will escort you to a heavenly realm and introduce you to Jesus and the Father. He'll take you there. He'll get you there, right? He'll escort you there. If you believe in Jesus by faith with all your heart that Jesus saved you from your sin, that he's the only way, the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through Jesus. You got to go get to heaven by faith in Jesus, but the Holy Spirit will escort you there. Amen. He's a gentleman. He'll open doors for you like a gentleman. He'll speak to you through the spiritual gifts. The Father's finished. He did it in 7 days. Jesus is finished. He did it in 33 years. The Holy Spirit is an active helper right now, right now. He's our active helper. If you don't see him as God, you'll go past his power. You'll miss it. He's here with power. And you know what? He has gifted and graced you for your assignment. Do you know you all have an assignment? We have an assignment, a collective assignment as a church. I think that's so exciting. Where God's going to take us, I'm excited about. But you know, individually, you have an individual road to run, race to run. You know, the Apostle Paul said, I've run my race, the one that you marked out for me. He's marked out a special race for you. You have unique gifting, unique personality, a unique makeup to make this assignment work. Why would God send you on an assignment and not gift you and grace you for it? Amen. You know, we look at Dave Tybos, the Tybonator, the social terrorist. We look at him. He's graced to win people to Jesus. Graced for it. Gifted and graced. Gifted is a gift. Graced is a power to do the gift. Amen. We don't have any gift, by the way. We don't own any gifts. What we have is the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit has all the gifts. And this is a real bonus. But when you follow Jesus and you're a follower of him, he gives you gifts as he sees fit. Who determines what gift you have? The Holy Spirit. See, I'd like to be a worship leader, but I'm not. I'm a preacher. But I'd love to be a worship leader. That's why I kind of try and half give it a crack, Nick. You know, come in and give it a go. But, you know, I'd love to be a worship leader, but I'm not. I'm a preacher. That gives me great joy when I preach because I'm graced for it. But what has God graced you for? This message is called Unwrapped. Unwrapped. Say unwrapped. So just knowing that when you have the Holy Spirit, you have all the gifts can operate through you. It's not like, oh, I've got the gift of prophecy. No, you don't. No, you don't. The Holy Spirit has the gift of prophecy and he'll move through you as we see it. So I want to have a look at these gifts quickly. And we're reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 111. Before I say that, there's four sorts of gifts that are mentioned in the Bible. There are motivational gifts. You'll find them in Romans 12. There are ministry gifts. You'll find them in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. If you want to do some homework, you can listen back to this on Spotify. Amen? There are ministerial gifts. You see these in Ephesians 4. This is what we know of the fivefold. The ministerial gifts are for the office of the prophet or the office of the evangelist. To what? Equip the saints to do the work. Amen? But what we're talking about today is the manifestation gifts, manifestational gifts. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1 to 11. Let's read together. Now, what about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters? I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or another, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Oh my gosh. You know, it's like when we're ignorant, we get led astray to mute idols. You know, when we're not informed, when we're not full of the Holy Spirit, we get led away to mute idols. Amen. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. That's a good test, litmus test. If somebody can't say Jesus is Lord, you know something really demonic's going on. Amen? Something super demonic, because I've been like praying for people and I've said, say Jesus is Lord, and they just can't. They can't say it. There's a demon in there stopping them. They can just... I said, say, is Jesus your Savior? I just can't do it. Don't get me started, George. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation, what does manifestation mean? To turn up, to see it. The manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. So that's a big point. Whenever you have a gift operating, manifesting, it's for the common good. Amen. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, the distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. And all these are at work of, all these are the work of one and the same Spirit as He distributes them to each one just as He determines. So if you're positioned in front of somebody who needs healing, the Holy Spirit will say, you need the gift of healing right now. That's what I felt. Healing in my hands this morning. I'm like, I have to pray for people because I have to be faithful to administer what He's giving me. Now, what would I do if He gave me the gift of healing this morning and I didn't lay hands on people? I could just keep all that to myself and have a jolly old time. I'll be just happy as here, but I needed to release it. You need to unwrap the gifts so that you can experience them. You can release them on for the common good. Amen. We're releasing healing today for the common good, for your good. And so I wanted to quickly talk about these manifestational gifts. There's 9 of them. You have access to all of them, all of them. Amen? Not one of them. Oh, you don't run around and say, what's your gift? What's your gift? Right? You don't have any gift, by the way. You know, like I remember telling you a story about when I gave my son an iPhone for Christmas and he was that excited he nearly fainted, right? But, you know, when I remember that moment so well because it was under the tree, that gift. Now, it was wrapped up. Now, what if my son had never unwrapped that gift? Inside of that gift was a powerful iPhone that could give him access to the world. But what if he'd never unwrapped that gift and never discovered the power of that iPhone? Oh, come on, church. Sometimes we're like this. What if we never unwrap this gift and discover what's in here, full of promises, full of power? Jesus is the Word. You can have an encounter with the Holy Spirit by just opening this. It's my iPhone. Amen. But you know what? My son, if you'd asked my son, he would have said, that's my iPhone. I was given it, but it's my iPhone. Now, you and me know that is not his iPhone. That is my iPhone. I paid for it. I still pay for it. And he's about to turn 21. And I still pay for it. It's still not his iPhone, but he still thinks it is. Do you get where I'm going? Holy Spirit owns all the gifts and He gives them to us as we see fit, but we don't own them. Amen? So there's discerning gifts. The word of knowledge, number one, the word of knowledge is to know something specific without having learned it by natural means. That means the word of knowledge can work through you when you're in front of people. God can give you a download about someone's life and you can know it. Amen. We see this powerfully in John 4 when Jesus has an encounter with the woman at the well. And He says, go call your husband. She says, I've got no husband. He said, that's right. In fact, you've had 5 husbands and the husband you're with, the guy you're with is not your husband right now, but go call him. She was shocked. That is what unlocked her heart to know that He was a prophet, that He was the man of God, that He was actually, in fact, the savior of the world. He opened her eyes spiritually by having a word of knowledge. I think we should hunger more and more for the word of knowledge. Amen. It's a powerful tool and it comes so gently and quickly that you actually can overlook it because it comes so easy and naturally because the Holy Spirit's a gentle voice. You know, I was in the sauna at the gym this week. Friday, actually, in the sauna. I walked into the sauna. It was my only day off. I was so looking forward to it. Walked in there and I saw these 2 massive big island boys, rugby players they look like, sweating profusely. in the sauna, I was like, oh, gosh. I was kind of wanting a nice, quiet sauna. They're in there, you know, yabbing on. And I go, oh, I was so desperate, I'm going in anyway. So I went in, went past them, went right around them, up into my little corner and hid. And they took up the whole sauna. So I was a bit, inconvenienced on my day off. And they started talking to each other about the word of God. I was so shocked. One of them said, "Yeah, brother, I'm loving the word right now. Oh, I saw this in Corinthians. It was so good, man." The other one's gone, "Yeah, man, I just want to turn up for my wife. Yeah, I want to be a good man. I'm going to study the word like even more. You know, I'm going to get into it, man, because I want to be a good husband. I want to turn up for my wife." The other one's like, "Yeah." I'm just like, "Hey, tap, tap. Excuse me. Do you boys love Jesus?" And they turn around. "Yeah." And I go, "Oh, me too. Me too." So I've gone from like wanting to ignore them to like, I want to dive in the middle of them. Let's talk about Jesus in the sauna. Yeah, I'm like, "I love Jesus. I love Jesus." Where they're going, "I love Jesus. I love Jesus." "Well, I love Jesus. That's so cool." And they, I go, I'm a minister. They go, "Oh, really?" And I go, "Yeah." And they go, "Where?" And I go, "Penrith." They go, "Oh, my missus goes to a church in Liverpool." I go, "Liverpool? Oh, we're having a tent. You got to come to the tent." "Yeah." I go, "Oh, there's this guy, you know, he sings, his name's Knox Marlowe, you know, these two big island boys, they sing, they're called Royal Priesthood, they're awesome, they're coming to the tent." They go, "Oh, yeah, we know them, we've seen them on TikTok, yeah, we've seen them on TikTok. I know that guy, yeah, I know that guy." I'm like, "Awesome, man, that's so cool." He goes, I'll give you my number, he's giving me his phone number now, so that I can give him all the details about the tent. We need security. Always filling a need. How cool is that? So I'm in the sauna with these two big island boys talking about Jesus. You'd never think your day was going to turn out like that, would you? When you're in the morning, what's going to happen to you? You're going to go to the sauna, you're going to meet two big island boys, you're going to talk about Jesus. That's not going to happen. Amen. So anyway, go there. "Oh, I've got to invite you to the tent, man. It's going to be epic. There's going to be miracles. There's going to be healing. Power of the Holy Ghost." Like, "Yeah." I said, "Invite all your crew." "Yeah." "Okay, cool." So anyway, he says, "I'll give you my phone number." I go, "Okay, cool. Thank you." And he gives me his phone number and I go, "I've got a word for you. Just came. Push. Easy. I've got a word for you." He goes, "What?" I go, "You're going to be a preacher. You are a preacher. In the name of Jesus, I declare you a preacher." She starts crying. "I've been praying about that. I've been talking to my missus about that. That's what I really want. That's what I really want to do. That's what I want to do for the Lord. I want to be a preacher." In the sauna. "Man, you're going to be a powerful preacher. You know how I know?" He goes, "How?" I go, "Holy Spirit." "Tell me, how else would I know? That was the desire of your heart. Do you see where I'm going?" Blessed him. He's like, "I'm going home to tell my missus. See you later." I put him in my phone as preacher man. Sauna. Just in case it happens again somewhere else. The word of knowledge is a powerful tool. Amen. It turns up all the time. Word of wisdom is a divine answer or solution for a particular event. Should I buy this house? Should I go into business with this person? Ooh, you need wisdom for that. Because in my mind, partnerships are the only ships that should never set sail. By experience. Partnerships. Word of wisdom can come for your finances, for your life, for your family. Amen. For your family. Should I back off? Should I speak up? word of wisdom for a particular event. It's supernatural. What happened? Another, I mean, the gifts of the Spirit are active all the time, just if you can recognize them. You know, in the gym, I know I've got lots of gym stories because that's where I spend my life. But, you know, I was considering a couple of months ago, should I resign from Fitness First, this gym that I work at and I pay rent at, and it's, you know, I'm not really making money there, and there's this other gym, and what should I do? And this girl who I helped a few years ago, I ran into her at the gym, and she's awesome, but she was really new agey. Anyway, we went to the Christmas party, and she embarrassed herself so much at the Christmas party. She was that girl. And the next day she rang me suicidal. She was so embarrassed about what she'd done. She wanted to take her own life. That's how bad it was. And I actually led this girl to Jesus over the phone, right? And she had a powerful encounter over the phone with the Holy Spirit, and she got saved. And then she loved me for it ever since, because she's like, you introduced me to God. I'm just like, yep, I did. And I'll keep talking to you about him as long as I live. And so we run into each other. We've kept in contact. Ran into her in the gym. And I started talking to her because she used to be a personal trainer at the gym. I was telling her my dilemma, and she goes to me, it's blocking your abundance. I go, you're right. It was revelation. It was like, it's blocking my abundance. But the words that she said were wisdom. It was wisdom for my life. So I resigned. It was like, she's right. I'm resigning. I'm unblocking my abundance. Amen? What I'm saying is the word of wisdom can come through anybody. It can come through a child. Many times when I've been a single mum raising my kids, you know, my children would say something to me and be like, oh my gosh, that's wisdom. That's wisdom from the Father through my son to me, you know? And so the word of wisdom is operating through the power of the Holy Spirit. The discerning of spirits is the third gift of the discerning gifts, the discerning of spirits. Let's be really clear about this. The discerning of spirits comes so that you can discern if there's an evil spirit. It's not to discern if somebody, to judge somebody. To say, oh, they're not a good person or they're a bad person. That's not the discerning of spirits. That's just called judgment. Right? The discerning of spirits is to know, to divide the spiritual realm, to know that there's an evil spirit present. And that could come, that will come to warn you to maybe not spend so much time with that person who evil is operating through all the time, because you discern that something's not really right there. You know, you discern it. The discerning of the Holy Spirit will show you, the discerning of the spirits can operate to say, be careful, bring warning, watch out. Not to say people are evil because they're not, but what is in them can be. They can be of open doors to evil spirits through all sorts of ways. And that's just a whole different sermon. Okay, but people open their lives through addiction, through trauma, through all sorts of ways. Evil spirits can come. Even though you're a Holy Ghost Spirit-filled Christian, you can have demonic stuff operating. We'll get off that. The declared, you don't, you know, well, on that note, though, before I move on, is if you can't see your enemy, you're less likely to fight him. If you never see the enemy, you won't be fighting him. But the discerning of the spirits comes so that you know how to move into warfare. Amen? So that you know how to pray, so that you know how to particularly shut or bind that thing up. Amen? It's a powerful tool. Declarative gifts are what we use with our mouth. We declare, we edify, we encourage. Number one, prophecy. We see in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 41, that everybody can prophesy. You can all prophesy. Amen? But the gift of prophecy, spiritual gift of prophecy, is to encourage someone, to edify them, to build them up. In fact, all these gifts are to build for the common good. And it's good to know that if you're operating in the gift of prophecy, that it's to put courage in someone, encourage, put lift someone up out of darkness, that the prophetic word should always lift up. It should never judge or condemn or correct. It's not for correction. It's for edification in the New Testament. It's for encouragement. It's to lift somebody up out of darkness and into light. It's like to say you can do it by the power of the Holy Spirit. It can be, there can be words on your encouragement that are supernatural. That's when you're operating in the gift of prophecy. That the prophetic, well, I've seen, you know, the prophetic word just work in my life many, many times to just lift people out of despair. Amen? A prophecy is it's an incredible, incredible gift. And it's best to say, I feel the Lord on this. Not God told me, you have to leave your husband. Or God told me, you're supposed to give me $1 million. No, God told me I'm going to marry you. I've had that, actually. This guy turned up after we did Bible college, turned up at my door, knock, knock, knock. I was like, who's that? Opened up the door, done 2 years of Bible college with him. He said, God told me you're my wife. I was like, well, God didn't tell me, and I'm not really attracted to you, so bye. God bless you, but I can assure you that I'm not your wife. Too much? Too much. Too much sharing? Too much sharing. God told me. The God told me card, Pastor Phil? God told me card. God told me to leave this church? Was that because I just corrected you? Offered you some advice you didn't like? God told you to leave? God told me to marry this man. You're already married. Stop it. God told me, card. Chuck it out. Make sure prophecy lines up with scripture. Because the word and the spirit never contradict themselves. They are the same. Because the Holy Spirit is the word. You know why? Because the Holy Spirit is Jesus and Jesus is the Holy Spirit. And Holy Spirit is God and God the Father and Father God and Holy Spirit. We're all in it together and they're all in here and they're all working together. And here we go and let's chuck the devil out and boom, boom, shake the room. And here we come. Look out, world. Because I've got the power of the Holy Spirit gifts inside of me. And so I'm a walking, talking unit of the Holy Ghost and so are you. And we're going to get on fire and we're going to go out into the world and we're going to make some damage and we're going to kick some devils in the head and we're going to come from our authority and we're going to move in power and we're going to see miracles every single week and we're going to step out in faith and we're going to get a sense of our authority and we're going to know who we are because we're the kids of God. You know, we're his kids. And so, you know, like he's got heaps of gifts under the tree for us. If we would just unwrap them. Unwrapped. There's a lot of gifts under the tree unwrapped. There's heaps of them. I can see them prophetically. This is a big Christmas tree. Heaps of gifts. The father's like, look what I just did. I provided all this stuff. I bought everything I had to buy. Everything. I purchased it all. All purchased. It's finished. And went for church going, oh, I wonder what my gift is. I wonder what gifts God's given me. He's given them all to you. All of them. He's given you Jesus, his one and only son. The most expensive gift that he ever had was his own son, his son. He said, I'm going to give you my son so that anyone who believes in him will be saved. And that way we can all be reconciled together in heaven because you need a sacrifice for your sin. And because you went your own way and you were stubborn and you were disobedient and you did all this stuff. I'm going to have to send my son Jesus. I can't come because I'm holy. I can't come to that earth. I mean, he wouldn't last 1 minute, you know, because he's holy. He's a holy father. So I'm going to send Jesus to the earth. Jesus is going to walk in the muck and the mire of all our filth. He's going to have powerful encounters with people. He's going to show us how to move in the power of the Holy Spirit. And then he's going to go to heaven. He's going to say, I'm finished 33 years. That's enough for me. Oh, that is hectic down there. He got up and said to the Father, oh, we should see it down there. It's hectic. He said, thank you for sending me only for 33 years. I'm done. I'm done. I'm sitting down. I'm going to send them the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit can take it from here. He passed the baton to the Holy Spirit as a relay race. The Father, he passed it to Jesus. Jesus did what he did. Jesus passed it to the Holy Spirit. Now the Holy Spirit has got hold of the eternal flame, the Olympic flame. It's the Holy Spirit running through the earth right now. I've got the flame, the flame of fire. I've got the fire, and you know tongues of fire can come upon you, and you can start speaking in tongues and edify yourself. That's a whole nother sermon. We're going there in a couple of weeks. Amen. The next gift is tongues. If you don't speak in tongues, good news. In 2 weeks, we're going to have a service where I'm going to baptize you with fire. The Holy Spirit will come upon you and you'll start speaking in tongues, because everybody can speak in tongues. There's a grace to speak in tongues. When the church was born, it was born with flames of fire and people started speaking in different languages and everybody thought they were drunk. Why, these people are drunk? No, they're speaking with the fire of God. You speak messages to God. When you're speaking, when you're graced with the gift of tongues, you speak messages to God. But when the gift of it on an altar call at C3 Church, Oxford Falls, oh gosh, 15, 20 years ago, I'm praying for people, laying hands on people. I come up to this girl, she's a Kiwi girl, and I lay hands on her and I have a gift of a tongue for her, which is unusual because usually I'll prophesy. So I go, whatever. I don't know how it came out. She starts crying, breaking down, just so touched by God. And I go, and she goes, you don't know what you said. And I said, that's right. I don't know what I said. And she goes, you just told me in my native language, which is some like far off island in New Zealand that nobody even knows about, like some crazy tribe that no, it's a small tribe. She said, the reason I know this from God is because this tribe where I come from is so small and so forgotten and so out the back of the world that nobody would even know. I can't even believe you just spoke my native language to me and you told me that my Father in heaven loves me. And I go, wow, that's cool. Because I was just letting the Spirit flow. Amen. So then she had the interpretation of the tongue. I've been here with Hazel. Amen. And we had tongues and we had an interpretation. Something went on. It was good. That's all I know. The interpretation of tongues is the understanding and expressing of the thought or the intent of the message of tongues. Now hear me. There's a massive difference between translation and interpretation. So if someone has a tongue, you don't have to translate it word for word. So I'm going, Shari kanamarishtiki apapa, to that Kiwi girl. Now, I'm sure I didn't say word for word. She said, you told me my Father loves me in my native language. I probably said a whole lot of other stuff, but she gave me that. She gave me the interpretation. She gave me the interpretation which ministered to her heart. So you can hear a tongue and have an interpretation of what God's saying. Amen? And just bring the essence of that. It doesn't have to be word for word exact. Amen? And I'm going on, sorry. I'll get through this. Interpretation of tongues. And then, lastly, the demonstration gifts. The demonstration gifts are often called the power gifts. So the gift of faith. Supernatural faith. Everybody has faith. Of course, we act in faith. We do things by faith. This is a supernatural faith. I got this supernatural faith when my best friend Josie had breast cancer. She had breast cancer. She was given less than a year to live. Stage 4, it was crazy. I was in the doctor with her and he just said, go home, spend some time with your kids, have fun, wrap things up. And we sat in the car and we looked at each other and she said, I just don't have time for cancer. And she had supernatural faith. She just stood, she had this input of faith to go through the journey. But you know what? Her best friend didn't have any. I started crying. God, you're going to take my best friend away. What am I going to do? I had no faith. I was like, God, you got to speak to me. You got to tell me, is she going to live or die? Anyway, he said, go to this word. I went to this word in John, I think. Can't remember. Could be Mark. It was in the Gospels. He said, because she was going to have to go through chemo. He said, if they drink deadly poison, they will not die. And I was like, that was it. The supernatural word, the gift of faith entered me. I said to my friend, you're not going to die. She said, I know. I said, yeah, but I needed to know. After that, she went through brain cancer. I was like, she's got that. She got through everything. With the gift of faith, she operates in it. It's a supernatural. What's the difference between normal faith and the gift of faith, you may ask me? Did I hear you say? The difference is that faith, when it's a gift from the Holy Spirit, is more powerful, more potent. More potent than your normal faith. You kind of know. You're like, it doesn't even touch you. It's graced. Do you know what I mean? It's like, this thing's not touching me. I got this supernatural faith for it. It's not just like kind of normal faith. It's upgraded faith. Amen? Unpacked. Gift of healing. You know, we see the gift of healing today. We see it operating. But gift of healing, you know, one of our mighty man, our hero, Tim Hall, operates in the gift of healing and miracles all the time. You see a supernatural empowerment come upon him, a grace. When he's in certain meetings, he gets it to help the common good. Amen? That's what it's for. It comes for a purpose. You know, when the gift of healing hits me, I feel it in my hands. I feel a warmth, like a heat in my hand and a tingling. And it's happened to me ever since I got born again. I had this hot hands, I call them. I got the hot hands, Lord. I got the hot hands. I've got to put them on somebody. Amen. That's not my power. That's just the Holy Spirit on me wanting to touch some people. And the gift of healing operates like that for me, but it operates like different for different people. Well, the gift of miracles is our last one. Who wants to see the gift of miracles more? Who wants to see dead people get raised up in this last hour? I am so hungry for the gift of miracles. You know, the gift of miracles is incredible. And it is the same, if it's the same, reason with me, it is the same Spirit that gives all the gifts. Why would he hold back the gift of miracles and just give us the other eight? He gives them as he sees fit to distribute them. If you need a miracle, my friend, you're going to have a miracle. I tell you, you're going to have many miracles. And then you're going to pray for other people and they're going to get miracles. I believe that with all my heart, that the supernatural power of God is all over you. And I believe that the church is rising in faith again to believe for an age of miracles, of season, this season of last days revival that we're walking into. We have to be a people of power. We don't come to preach the word without the demonstration of power. Paul said, I don't come with eloquence of speech. I don't come with a fancy sermon. I don't come with any of that. But I'll tell you what I've got. I'm going to release the power of the Holy Ghost on you so that man can see. He used to be blind, but he's going to see. That man who was deaf, he's going to hear. That man who's dead, he's going to get raised up. John's leg's going to grow out because we believe in the mighty, powerful name of Jesus and for miracles. I mean, we believe for that miracle. We're going to stand. And until we see an amputee grow a leg back, we're just going to stand in faith and believe for that mighty miracle. We don't care. We will stand and believe until we all go to heaven, until the Holy Ghost takes us. But I don't know about you, but I'm going to stand with John. Are you going to stand with John and believe for a miracle for him in the name of Jesus? I declare it. One day it's just going to happen and we're going to be going like, what? What is happening? Look at John's leg. It's growing out. We're all going to be powered. We're going to be powered out, man. We're going to be all over the ground going, we'll be so drunk we won't even be able to see your leg growing, John. But you'll be like telling us a running commentary going, my leg is growing, my leg is growing. And we don't care because we are drunk in the Spirit all over the ground. We'll be like, when we can get off the floor, John, we'll have a look at it.
Jesus.
Hey, so you got no, she'll see it in 3 days' time. She'll be out for 3 days, man. Show us nice, John. Praise God, John.
Awesome. I can't open my eyes. I'm crying too much.
You'd be like, the leg grew out. And then John just kicked a dead man and he got up, raised up and got up and walked out of the meeting. That dead man will get up. He'll go and touch about 100 people, they'll get slain in the spirit. They'll get up. They'll go out in all of Penrith, and all of Penrith will get saved. And we all under the power of God be like, oh, God, you're holy.